It's June 29th.
And the word of the day is Kopfkino, German for head cinema. And it means your inner monologue, but played out as a vivid movie instead of just a voice. Using the sentence, my anxiety did a pivot to video, and now my brain algorithm serves me Kopfkino nonstop. It's great.
Yeah, I was going to say, any way to get the programming that isn't just the times people said no to a date with me on this channel? I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, it's no illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright, and broadcasting delayed from America's far center, we are the Skeptics.
On this week's episode, Donald Trump surrenders in victory.
Trump aides explain why you can't waterboard algae.
And we learn about the profound geopolitical impact of Waffle House and ranch dressing.
Fuck yeah.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, No Illusions, and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, before we get to the news and our major grievances, let's warm it up with a petty grievance.
Ooh.
Anything you'd like to air? Petty grievance?
Grinding my gears? Yeah. If you put the tutorial instructions on screen while I'm fighting the fucking bad guys, I can't read them because I'm fighting the fucking bad guys.
Because this is a great one.
Busy
this
there.
Is important. Okay, here's mine. None of the other wizards let me use their orbs when mine is recharging. So I have to fucking sit around with the familiars, and nobody but me has a familiar that can talk, because if you have a familiar that can talk, everyone thinks you fuck it. Mm. So
I have no idea, but it tracks with what I know about you. Okay, I'm going to say the New York Times game Connections is a petty grievance of mine. So they have the thing in color codes, right? So like purple group is the hardest, and then blue group, and then green group, and then yellow group. Mm-hmm. The order of the colors is weird to me, but I get past that. But I want to get...
Bruising. It's based on bruising.
I want... Okay. It makes some sense. I want to get the purple first, and I want to get the reverse rainbow. I want to get it in that order. Purple, blue, green, yellow. But they're insane about which is easier, especially between green and yellow.
Yeah.
And I don't get reverse rainbow when I absolutely should have gotten reverse rainbow all the time.
In our lead story tonight, it looks like Trump has finally managed to find a way out of the Iran debacle as the two parties signed it. Oh, nope, never mind. My bad. Nope, scratch that. Turns out Trump can't even effectively surrender, so his surrender document of humiliating surrender didn't even manage to stick, setting Trump up to be, I think, the first world leader to ever lose the same war twice.
Yeah, impressive, almost. I know you're just trying to pad your stats of ending wars. You think it's like 9 or 11. This doesn't count. Just so you know, this does not count.
Okay. But finally, we have done something to impress the French, right?
Oh, there
They're
you
like,
go.
Oh, no, you guys are good.
Right. So, yeah,
and we're
going
to beat them in the World Cup of Soccer.
Yeah.
Surrender. this all started about 2 weeks ago when Trump signed the Memorandum of Overstatement that agreed to pretty much everything but renaming Trump's firstborn son Soleimani. And just to emphasize how superfluous the job of satirist really is these days, he signed the memorandum, which he swore was not a surrender, at the goddamn palace of goddamn Versailles. There is no place more heavily associated with humiliating surrender anywhere on earth outside of Melania's vagina. But he signed it and in so doing declared the conflict in Iran over for, and I am not making this number up, the 38th time.
Just the 100-year-old Japanese guy in a sniper nest by the beach waiting to fight the Allied invasion.
Yeah, right.
Listen to this podcast. Donald, you look ridiculous, man.
You're embarrassing yourself.
Now, the memorandum itself contains 14 points. The first two are the war ends. The third is a promise to hammer something permanent out in the unrealistically short window of 60 days. For contrast, the Obama one, the JCPOA, that was negotiated over a year and a half with like 9 countries and professional diplomats.
We brought scientists who knew about like nuclear stuff. It was
that,
great.
And everything, So point 5 is a provisional agreement by Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz without charging a fee for the next 60 days. Point eight is a promise by Iran to have a very serious chat with America about nuclear enrichment. Very seriously.
Sternly worded chat. Cool. Yep. That's a good point.
Yep. Points 12, 13, and 14 are technical points on how the two states will move forward. That leaves points 4, 6, 7, 9, 10, and 11, which are all direct concessions to the Iranian regime. To be clear, if the MOU was implemented in full, which it won't be, not only would it be a worse deal than the JCPOA, but it would be a worse deal than the nothing that we had in place before Trump launched the war. The Iranians Truman. Are now offering less than we already had before the war.
Okay, what's like the opposite of It's a Wonderful Life? I want to make It's a Wonderful Life 2, It's a Terrible Life with Donald
yes,
Trump in it.
There you go.
Just Clarence the Angel showing him a Trumpless world being like, you should kill yourself? You should kill yourself,
should
right? Like, all this stuff, it's just, like, real clear.
Honestly, a lot of people survive bridge jumps. Let's go to a building. You're yeah. a skyscraper, right? Let's go to a skyscraper.
If you jump, I get my wings.
Now, but unlike the Iranians, the U.S. has given away the store in this thing. Mr. Art of the Deal is so desperate to turn the clock back on his idiot decision to follow Netanyahu into this debacle of a war that he's agreed to remove all sanctions on Iran. Not just the ones related to their nuclear program, but all the ones related to human rights abuses and the funding of terrorist groups and all that shit. If they promise not to make a nuke. A promise that, of course, they've made 3,000 fucking times.
Yeah.
Even after Trump tore up the painstakingly negotiated treaty that already solved the problem, they promised not to do it. It also, it includes the unfreezing of all Iranian assets and the facilitation of a $300 billion fund to rebuild Iran. Not only that, but it also includes agreements not to reimpose sanctions regardless of what Iran does outside of its nuclear program.
Yeah. Okay. So everyone's lying about these promises. All these promises
sure.
are going to get broken.
Yes.
And that's actually being used as a defense of this thing by the bootlickers on Fox
yes.
News. They're saying we'll just renege on the stuff we don't like. But obviously, Iran can do that, too. And that was the whole fucking point of the JCPOA. It had inspectors to check on stuff. Instead, we're doing don't trust, but don't verify. That's nothing. We're doing nothing.
Right.
We're doing worse than nothing.
You see, Kitten, the secret to this game of chicken is everyone but us is in the cause that quest.
But as shitty as this deal was for Americans, there was never any realistic chance that it was going to work. Foremost of its shortcoming is the fact that Israel was completely left out of the negotiations. And given that their interests aren't represented at all, and given that the very first point contains the phrase, like, also Lebanon in three different places, the MOU was DOA. 10 seconds after the deal was announced, Israel just shot a Lebanese guy and they were like, but what about us, though? Right. The deal was then off and then it was on again. And then it had never been off at all. And then it had never been on at all. And then it was doing fine, even though the U.S. delegation had already canceled the very first meeting called for by the new deal.
All right. I sure hope Bibi Netanyahu doesn't flip the board again. Anyway, let's set up the very intricate board.
Yeah, let's set up Axis and allies again. Yes.
Bibi's like, these idiots aren't going to keep their promises. Wait, I'm not included. Why am I not included? I
yeah, right.
Not promise keeping.
But despite the inability of the deal to halt fighting for even as much as 24 fucking hours, the region spent the last 2 weeks like tiptoeing their way through this shit like the stage of Squid Games with the glass panels. For 2 weeks, we've watched Jance Dance tepidly wallow into this shit, knowing fully well that it represents the end of his political career. And then, like, he'll get the tiny hint of a concession, and then Trump will tweet out, Iran agreed to fuck a pig on live TV, and then we'll lose that concession.
It's not halal fucking. It doesn't even make
no,
sense.
No, obviously, so. They're not going to fuck the baby. Yeah. Goat. So now we've watched as Israel has poutily agreed to a different deal that contradicts the MOU. And we've watched the Trump team desperately hold this shit together with bubblegum and chicken wire and yell, this still counts as peace, though. But even that tenuous peace-like substance seems to be unraveling as of the time of this recording.
Yeah, we might have to do a beep, 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 beep.
Yeah,
beep,
right.
Beep. I guess what I'm saying is, who would have thought a guy who couldn't hold on to a press secretary for a college semester couldn't negotiate peace in the Middle East?
Right.
Am I right? This is crazy.
Yeah. So the latest escalation started on Thursday when Iran fired on a Singapore-flagged commercial ship called the Everlovely for using an unapproved route through the Strait of Hormuz.
I don't understand. We dressed the ship up like a pretty lady in a burqa and everything, and they still saw.
Yeah. Now, nobody was killed. Nobody was injured. And even though this didn't technically violate the terms of the MOU, Donald Trump was operating under the if they get to shoot something, we get to shoot something doctrine. So the U.S. fired against Iranian military targets, specifically some drone storage locations and radar sites along the Iranian coast, which did violate the terms of the agreement. So Iran fired at some U.S. shit in Bahrain.
Okay, so obviously this whole thing is tragic. It's the dumbest war ever. But I'm, as you know, a sunny optimist.
I always say that about you. It's true.
I think there's a silver lining here. I actually said this a few months ago, and it's coming true a little bit already. The whole world is realizing they better fucking get good at solar and EVs and stop relying on oil so much.
Yeah.
So Trump's incredibly stupid and evil war might actually undermine his other incredibly stupid and evil thing about destroying alternative energy.
Yeah.
Everybody's silver floating lining? Around in sun-powered hover boots in 100 years, and they're like, okay, so you guys know the show The Apprentice?
So no idea how much longer the MOU will last or if it'll fully unravel by the time Heath can get this episode edited, but it doesn't really matter since there's no chance in fucking hell that the dynamic duo of J.D. Vance and Jared Kushner are going to pull off a meaningful peace deal in the course of 2 fucking months, even with the unconditional surrender that Trump is offering. So basically, this shit was just doomed from the start, and the only good thing that can come from it is the sun-powered hover cars in 100 years and watching Rubio and Vance blame each other for it in 2028 if Trump hasn't declared himself God King by then.
I'm really rooting. This sounds crazy, but I'm rooting for J.D. Vance to beat Marco Rubio in this. Like, he would be so much easier for us to beat in 28.
Yeah, but he's so much scarier, man. Ugh. And quick before Trump outlaws phone calls so we can't tell each other how stupid he is, we're going to toss it to a word from this week's sponsor, Mint Mobile.
Because this phone is actually chocolate. Ow!
Nope, just a phone, man.
Or is it?
It is, yes.
Hey guys, what you doing?
Oh, hey Noah. He's telling me about how great his wireless plan from Mint Mobile is, but he doesn't fool me. I know there's always a catch with these things.
What's Mint Mobile?
Well, I'll tell you some details and you'll get it from the context. When people hear that Mint Mobile plans are only $15 a month, a lot of people wonder, what's the catch? Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience, there isn't one. No gimmicks and no gotchas. Just unlimited talk, text, and data with fast, reliable coverage on the nation's largest 5G network and an award-winning care team.
Care like the word, or is that an acronym for something sinister?
The word, man.
But, Heath, have you actually tried it?
I sure have. I switched to Mint Mobile when they became a sponsor. I love that I get the same great service for a fraction of the price. That's why I, Heath Enright, personally endorse Mint Mobile.
Oh, so you have to be endorse.
Nope, endorse.
Oh, okay.
To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/skeptocrat. That's mintmobile.com/skeptocrat. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/skeptocrat. That's it. There's no catch. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Ah, so the taxes are the catch.
No, man. Everybody pays taxes.
You guys are paying taxes?
See?
Okay.
And we're back. Next up in headlines in RFK through 12 news. The Trump administration announced this week that they'll put Health Secretary and raccoon genital connoisseur Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in charge of special education programs. And
yikes.
I think I speak for all parents of special education children when I say, fuck.
So he's obviously not even remotely qualified for the word connoisseur. I think that was crazy when you said connoisseur. I think he has bad taste in raccoon penis.
He's just taking it from roadkill. Yeah, he'll just take any old raccoon penis, clearly.
Good to know. Good to know. So for those of you unfamiliar, the notion of special education as we know it is actually relatively recent. The legislation that established its existence, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA, if you're nasty, has only been around since the 1990s. And before that, there was the Education for All Handicapped Children Act of 1975. And before that... It was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a comedy show and we're all trying to have a good time here and there is virtually no way for me to describe how we treated special needs kids before 1975 without turning our show into a bummer.
No, we couldn't even stay funny if we had to talk about how they were officially classified.
Right? Yeah. Getting ourselves canceled with titles and shit. Yeah. So... as I said at the start, this week, the Trump administration announced that they're not only going back to that model by transferring special education back to the Department of Health and Human Services, but to a Department of Health and Human Services headed by a guy whose last comment on autistic kids was basically, look at them, so gross.
Yeah.
And who more recently said of special education, quote, they're health-related programs rather than particularly education programs, end quote.
Okay, I'm tired of people describing my autism as a disability. Like, maybe that applies for some people, and RFK Jr. should be nowhere near the policymaking on this topic, but lots of the spectrum is clearly a superpower. Like, we're better than all of you at math and logic. You have the disability called bad at math and logic. We're better.
You sound like my son. Can I say? You sound like my son. He says that to me every morning when I wake him. Now, defenders of this move are Satan. I mean, look, yeah. I don't really think it's worth steel-manning their argument with claims about how it's going to give more control to the states or allow more specific departmental regulation, because those are lies told by people who don't want these services to exist. Like, yeah. If I say I'm running at you with an axe to give you a present quickly, it might be more intellectually honest of you to wait and see, but you're sure. Just gonna die intellectually honest.
Well, not if you have the axe. If it's you, Eli Bosnick, we would get to watch a slapstick farce unfold, and that would be fun. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, right. Plus, how else am I gonna get inside your guard? Also, giving states more rights is dumb. It's just dumb. When you give some of the states rights, they enslave human beings with them. Stop giving these states rights.
It's their big thing. And look, I point this out because, as Keith is fond of pointing out, we have some midterm elections coming up in this mm-hmm. country. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. No matter how well we do in those elections, we can't stop all of this, right? Some of this is just the power of being the fucking president. But as we get closer to the election and the Russian bot makers get back to work, a lot of people are going to tell you that the midterm vote is like a personal test of your moral purity.
Hey, that's not what votes are.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So they're going to say to you, like, hey, you should support the Democrats, but that you can and should have these like personal lines that no candidate can cross. And then those Russian bots are going to make up a bunch of lies about how Democratic candidates have crossed those lines for you, right? And
this is a formula we've seen already.
Yes, yeah, and that's what they're going to do. So the best thing for you to do is what they're going to tell you is not to participate, because it'll keep you morally pure. And I want to remind you that moments like these, where a man who sawed off a whale's head with a chainsaw is now in charge of special ed, those are the consequences of those personal moral hard lines. What I'm asking you now is to vote like winning matters more than your personal opinions.
Because it does. Mm-hmm. And in algorithm and blues.
Fantastic.
Really happy about that one.
Well, you should be.
We have a tragic story about algae and blue paint. First, a little context. Donald Trump is a giant failure at many things. Just a few examples. He's really bad at owning NFL football teams or whatever the other league was. And desegregated housing and mm-hmm. consensual. He's the asterisk for the expression, the house never loses in the casino business.
That's true.
He's really bad at eclipses. That was a fun one.
Oh, that was a fun mm-hmm. one.
Yeah. He's bad at winning wars with the most powerful military in all of history. And of course, he's bad at just about everything involved in being the president. I guess the only exception being jokes about Pearl Harbor to the Prime Minister of Japan. That
great
was
singer. Okay,
accidentally hilarious.
Sure was.
But everything else bad. Well, when you're terrible at stuff, you retreat to your wheelhouse. So for the last year or so, he's been devoting most of his energy to gluing decorative coins to the walls of the White House and other important renovation stuff. He believes that to be his wheelhouse. And then he failed at that, too.
Mm-hmm.
He failed at what he thought was his wheelhouse. He tried to redo the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool with a new paint job of American flag blue. But now the water is all green with algae and the paint is peeling off in big chunks.
Okay, but I don't understand. The guide, Benjamin Moore, said this was the cheapest color they
yeah,
had.
Yeah, right. Well, this would have already been fucking hilarious if he hadn't spent the months leading up to the unveiling bragging about how great and inexpensive and gorgeous his reflecting pool renovation was going to be. He might as well have just said at the ribbon cutting, well, it sure won't turn green with algae and peel off in big fucking chunks. That's one thing I can guarantee. Jesus.
Did it happen just now? Right when I said it?
It happened real quick, like that science experiment you see on Instagram.
Why did we hire Greenwater?
So Trump decided that we're doing great on the federal budget.
Sure.
Deficit's going to be about $2 trillion for 2026. So what's an extra $1.8 million for a remodel? And then he spent $14.7 million so far. And considering it's only 8 acres and 6.75 million gallons of water. He hired a pool guy to do that.
Yep.
With no bids, Trump just hired some guy named Eddie who did a pool job for a Trump country club. Also worth noting, we recently learned from CNN that Trump tried to get a company called Sika that did some work on the reflecting pool in 2010. But Sika turned him down because the job was impossible to complete in the timeline that Trump was demanding, which was before July 4th.
You could say they were Sika his demands.
Don't even know what you're going for. So let's be super clear on just how his fault this is. When real experts told this master builder that what he wanted was impossible, he just went to a contractor with less expertise.
Yeah, that's his wheelhouse right there.
I guess.
So the no-bid crony got the job, and the blue coating was provided by Rhino Linings. They mostly make that stuff that gets sprayed on the bed of pickup trucks.
Yeah.
This was chosen by Trump, by the way. Rhino was chosen by Trump, according to Eddie the pool guy. And the coating substance from Rhino is called polyurea.
Is it really?
So just for the record, Donald Trump chose to put urea in the pool. Multiple ureas.
Polyurea.
Urea in an open relationship.
Yeah. Trump said the coating. He said that coating is indestructible and so strong, so powerful, like powerful rubber. And it immediately started peeling. So what happens when a sociopath is forced to learn that he failed at the one thing he felt really good at? Well, he becomes despondent with sadness and rage, and he makes insane proclamations that are obviously false. And then everyone who hears that has to decide if it's even worth it to confront the crazy liar.
I don't fuck my familiars. I was using it contextually.
Well, to be clear, these chicken shits won't confront the crazy liar when the stakes are shit like this will be an unwinnable war that'll cripple the world economy and these shoes are a different size than my feet. Right? Fat chance that this will be the one that spurs them into action.
Yeah, so here's the crazy lie from Trump. He's claiming it was a deliberate attack by his political enemies against his pool lining. Got him. He said that somebody cut a 250-foot gash in the lining. Then he changed it to 350 feet. Mm-hmm. Yet, despite all the cameras and security personnel in the area, we haven't seen any evidence of that Antifa vandal of the pool lining. We did hear from a National Guard member who was stationed near the reflecting pool on the day in question. He did not see anyone walk into the pool with a sword or an X-Acto knife and slowly wade across 350 feet while doing a slicing motion. He said there was nothing in terms of vandalism that he saw.
Okay. Yeah,
so back when I worked at the chocolate restaurant, we got a new manager who decided he was going to replace all of our food, like our food tubs, with cheap plastic ones to save money. And then because we were pouring melted chocolate into them, they melted and they warped and everything spilled.
Yeah, that would happen.
And then he literally accused us of microwaving them out of spite for him. What I'm saying is Trump is America's terrible manager.
Yeah.
He sure is. Yeah. Okay, but did you microwave the thing?
I did. So that's what's funny. Yeah. I had actually done it and everyone else had not. So he was like, you guys fucking microwave these. Not out of spite because I'm an idiot, but I had done it because I was like, time for this to get hot. Beep, yep. Boop, beep.
Yep. I was picturing exactly that. I nailed it. All right. So obviously an attack by Antifa on the pool lining is very serious. And we've seen at least 6 arrests, including a former Olympian who's just biking through and stopped to examine the peeling for a minute. According to Trump, there's already a big investigation underway, and they might have already found the culprit. During a meeting with the Secretary General of NATO, not sure why this came up during that meeting,
Trump addressed, to this.
Yeah, he addressed the important matter of the pool vandal in that meeting, saying that one of the people arrested is a member or a big player to Act Blue, a big Hillary supporter, a big supporter of Sleepy Joe Biden. And Trump's threatening 10 years in jail for anyone who fucks with the pool lining. Mm-hmm. Because he will not stand for people destroying government property.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
If you don't like how I run things, kill a cop, okay? Don't take it out on the pool.
So, all right. My favorite now is that there's the security video that they released of somebody like splashing their hand in the water to get some crap off their finger or something. And they're like, see, that could be a vandal cutting a 340-foot gash into the lining with an invisible 340-foot long sword.
Is that James Lindsay?
Is that Mitsurugi? So here's what actually happened, or what actually might have happened. It's possible that Trump had his goons arrest people for fucking nothing. Mm-hmm. And the real cause of the peeling was Trump having his presidential motorcade drive right over the surface of the emptied pool shortly after the new coating was applied. It could be that.
What's the only thing worse than driving on the green? Driving on the blue? I want to do that. Yeah. I want to drive on the blue.
To be clear, Trump is having real American citizens arrested for colluding with the monsters under his bed is where we are in fascism at this point.
Yeah. So yeah, whole thing is dumb. But one little aspect that I enjoyed was hearing from other pool guys. This was like the ultimate moment for the pool guys.
This was their fucking time.
Yeah, this was their time. Several of them quickly became like aquatic liminality infrastructure engineers instead of just pool guys. And they explained to journalists in glorious detail all the stuff that Trump and Eddie and Rhino got wrong here. For example, obvious one, don't drive a bunch of cars and trucks over the newly applied coating.
Big one.
And they also gave long esoteric descriptions about the chemical structure of polyurea and like the coefficient of linear expansion for building materials and the physics of light rays and the photosynthetic properties of algae. This was big for the pool people.
This was their 9/11. Yeah, just a bunch opposite. Of suburban dads taking their tongs, putting them, click, click, putting them down.
Yeah.
And then they're pacing around. Oh, man, this is not good. Not good.
Get off the shed.
I know I'm not the first to point this out, but narcissists should know better than to fuck around with reflecting pools. It's right there in the myth.
I could solve our own problem. We fix it. And then he's like, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, so bottom line, however it happened, the reflecting pool, it's all fucked up now, and now they have to fix it. Mm-hmm. So they're going to drain the whole thing and try to figure out the lining. And that, it sums it up right there with that picture. I can't think of anything more emblematic of the Donald Trump presidency than the visual of the Lincoln Memorial, Abraham Lincoln looking right down on a dried out empty pool with peeling paint like the courtyard of a Motel 6.
Yeah.
Fucking perfect and tragic. Happy 250, America. Yeah. There you
we
go.
We unplugged the bulbs that say pool on the Motel site on America. Yeah. You can't be mad.
And in Escape Town news, if there's one message that's abundantly clear out of the Trump administration, it's that America doesn't want any damn refugees. If you're fleeing from poverty, genocide, gang violence, war, famine, drought, cartels, doesn't fucking matter. You can flee elsewhere. America is full. Unless you happen to be fleeing from an imaginary genocide concocted by neo-Nazis and Elon Musk. Well, other neo-Nazis and Elon Musk out of isolated armed robberies in a black majority country where white people still to this day have a higher rate of employment and higher incomes than their black counterparts, in which case we'll not only accept you, but we'll put together a swell little merch bag for you. A bag that contains educational material from no lesser source than PragerU. Because there is no lesser source than PragerU.
We got MAGA swagga baggas. Fucking awesome. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, when the people you're helping are imaginary, it saves on gift bags, right?
Yeah.
You know,
right. So, yeah, so the news on these welcome bags broke in the New York Times last week, and it was one of those kind of stories where, like, multiple times as I was reading this, I had to check to make sure I wasn't on a deceptive satire site called the New York Tims, ran by two guys named Tim or some shit like
good
that.
Check. Good
and
check.
In their bags, which, as near as anybody can tell, are taxpayer fucking funded, white South Africans fleeing the imaginary genocide will receive an Android tablet.
Not an iPad.
Not an iPad. No, no. But a tablet. It's like an iPad. An American flag. Copies of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence. A report commissioned by Trump in his first term that claims that racial equality has gone too far in America. And a children's book on South African history that accuses the government of favoring the black population.
Also a copy of Lethal Weapon 5, where Mel Gibson apologizes to the Boers about fucking up their apartheid gold and helps him save Elon Musk from, I don't know, like the Antifa army that's attacking his eugenics lab?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Trademark. Mel, trademark this idea.
Yeah, Mel Gibson was very eager to participate in that. He wrote it, actually.
Yeah.
I said trademark.
Yeah, they couldn't get
also,
Glover
Daily Wire,
back.
Trademark. Yeah, back off.
Couldn't get Glover back, though, so Murtaugh is just played by Elon Musk in blackface.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, the contents of the bags were still being finalized when the Times story went to print, but to be clear, the U.S. isn't generally in the habit of putting together swag bags for refugees. And honestly, even if we were, these would still be so fucked up. And not just because multiple resources in the bags come from PragerU, but it does have those. In the proposed iteration of the bag obtained by the Times, they included a book called Lwazi's Hard Lesson, in which a black South African rugby player has to protect his white teammates from an angry black mob. That book also describes Nelson Mandela as a, quote, South African lawyer and activist who sought to end apartheid with acts of sabotage, end quote.
Yeah, and that was great. They tried to make that sound evil just now, but it's literally impossible to
Can't do it.
They tried so hard.
Nelson Mandela, negative Nancy about apartheid.
Right.
Nelson Mandela fucking up the space-time continuum, we're pretty sure.
Yeah. Now, other materials that are included in the bag downplay the horrors of U.S. slavery, demonize the civil rights movements by saying that it was, quote, almost immediately turned to programs that ran counter to the lofty ideals of the founders, end quote, claim that race relations in South Africa are worse now than they were under apartheid, liken progressivism to fascism, and accuse American liberals of reverse racism. And just in case anybody's trying to keep like an exhaustive list of every time their accusations turned out to be confessions, I want to remind you that this is coming from the party that spent the last 30 fucking years scaremongering about how Democrats were encouraging immigration so they could indoctrinate new citizens and bolster their voting base, right? That's the whole great replacement theory right there. And now they're trying to fucking do it.
No, this would be a great replacement. Great. We're excited.
You gotta say it different. It's about tone.
And in soon-to-be Mrs. G news, I'm jealous of our cousins across the pond in the UK for so many reasons. Universal healthcare, a slightly more sane political system, the ability to touch Skeptic of the Year Michael Marshall anytime you want to. But most importantly, every couple of decades, they get to have a royal wedding. A national celebration that reminds us that rich people aren't just better than us. They're so much better than us that the entire nation must halt to celebrate their nuptials. Well, we might still be a few years away before Grand Emperor Trump walks his daughter down the aisle to marry him, but it looks like the weekend
he is not going to hold his peace forever. I don't think he will.
No. But it looks like the weekend of July 4th, we're going to get pretty close, because rumors are that America's sweetheart, Taylor Swift herself, is getting married at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, MSG is pretty cool for a New York wedding. Me and Anne considered that, but the food was kind of like meh, so we got a different place.
Too much MSG? No, sorry. Sorry, cut that. So remind me, what does her fiancé do again? He's a podcaster?
Yeah, I think so. He is. Right, so rumors began at the venue itself. According to three people with knowledge of the matter, a permit was filed with New York City to close the streets around Madison Square Garden from July 2nd to midday July 4th for the events, which, again, according to insiders, would include an intimate, humble gathering of just 100 people on July 2nd and a more robust celebration of more than 1,000 guests, including special appearances, on the 4th.
Okay. So based on what I know about MSG and what they host, it's either Taylor and Travis getting married or it's Tony Hinchcliffe opening for Rob Schneider. So we'll see what happens.
I want to remind the audience that Heath and I have actually played that venue one time, and we had a way bigger audience than apparently Taylor Swift can muster for her stupid wedding.
Me too. I also did NYU rented it for the show that I was in.
Okay. Fuck yeah.
What? There's more. According to inside sources, several members of the Kansas City Chiefs have booked nearby hotel rooms. Amtrak police officers who patrol the station beneath the arena have been told to expect a Swift wedding the weekend of July 4th. And people who work for Miss Swift have been seen at Rock Lilitz, a production campus in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where sets for major concerts are constructed and where high-profile musicians sometimes rehearse.
Yeah, me and Anne thought about doing a concert for our wedding, too, but like... I have no talent. So
it never stopped Kid Rock, man.
Yeah. Also, I'd love to yes and you, Heath, but you have way more talent than Travis Kelce, okay?
Yeah. It's like, what's he ever done but amass the third most receiving yards of any tight end in NFL history, which will certainly be the second by like week two next year, and won 3 Super Bowls. Other than that.
Is he going to do that on stage at Madison Square Garden?
And a more popular podcast than ours. What is he doing?
Everyone has a more popular podcast than ours. We're not racists.
Receiving yards for a tight end. Relax.
Thank you. Now, there may be some negative Nancys on this podcast who call this event wasteful and lavish, who claim that our focus on stuff like this is bread and circuses. And to them, I say two words. The people's princess.
It's three words.
And finally tonight, in two worlds, one cup news.
Nice.
The spirit of generosity among soccer fans of the world has been a beacon of light in the darkness of 2026. And they're even finding ways to appreciate our shithole country. Despite all the stupid and evil things that Donald Trump is doing to the planet, soccer fandom has come together in North America with a spirit of unity for all of humanity. So naturally, lots of international fans felt way more comfortable about visiting Canada and Mexico, the other hosts, some of them, including literally the team from Iran, were actually forced to do that. But against all odds, people from all over the world are even enjoying the good old US of A. It's mostly ironic enjoyment of the dumbest parts of our culture, but I will take it. The World Cup might just be the key to achieving peace and harmony on a global scale.
Really?
I mean, look. It's like, hey, guys, welcome. We did elect a fascist dictator probably since last time you've been here, but look at the size of these burgers. Yeah. Am I right?
Okay, so they held the World Cup in Russia and then Qatar and then here. And in 2034, it's going to be in Saudi Arabia. I know they've got that storied peace prize and all, but they're just not screaming peace and harmony to me just yet. You're really going to have to take me there, Heath.
Yeah, I'm not sure FIFA is on the up and up a little bit.
No.
Okay,
but they're a federation.
Let's get into the insane list of American things that football fans all over the world are finding to be amusing. I'll start with the war crime in a ramekin that is ranch dressing.
Okay.
It's the fucking napalm of dressing. But people are fascinated by this crazy substance. They're making posts about, like, our culture and our ranch. It's like they're David Attenborough being like, watch this peculiar species as they take sour cream and relax it down with mayo and buttermilk so it's not too strong, and then sprinkle a few flecks of seasoning, and bam! That's a flavor for these people. They even made a synthetic ranch dust for their exotic triangle crisps. It's insane. And so many fans were excited about ranch that the TSA put out a statement reminding people that ranch is technically a liquid that you can't put in your carry-on.
Yeah, and you do not want a Keister ranch, people. It does not keep at 98.1.
You don't want a Keister ranch. As a proud, low-class American, I am happy to see ranch finally having its day. Wait until you motherfuckers try our Hot Pockets.
So...
it's cold when they're at the center, they're just frozen still. Yeah, it's just solid. Like a delight when you get to that other side.
It's a mystery. You never know what's going to happen.
It's like a reverse Tootsie Roll pop.
Our gumptionful culture also got recognized for the innovation we made with soda. We created soda, but way too big. Mm-hmm. The big gulp at 7-Eleven, of course, is what I'm talking about. A British fan posted, "The Big Gulp is easily one of my favorite things I've discovered in America so far."
Yeah, just try not to think about the fact that you could buy like 3 sodas in the UK and get an abortion.
Yeah, I mean, that also could just be a statement on how bad everything else about America is. You know?
Yeah,
it,
no,
it is
fair.
That.
Yeah,
it's exactly what Noah said. Yeah. We also got recognized for all the great restaurants that we have. Fans marveled at the barbecue in places like Texas, Kansas City. And that's actually a really good example. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the few truly great pieces of American culinary culture. But also, people mentioned other stuff in terms of restaurants. Visitors to the legendary Texas Roadhouse said they had plenty of amazement, confusion, and appreciation. And we saw influencers from all over the world live streaming their 3 a.m. visits to Waffle House with spellbound amusement.
Okay, but think about pitching Waffle House if we weren't already aware, right? Like, guys, how about a restaurant where you adverb your breakfast to a pregnant waitress who doesn't know what an adverb is? What do you say, huh?
Eli also doesn't know what adverb is.
Honestly, I genuinely don't trust anyone who approaches Waffle Houses with anything but spellbound amusement or terror. It's one of, if you see a Waffle House and you go, ooh, I don't know about
sus. Well, there's a set of conditions under which
well,
I
sure.
see
well,
a
Waffle. Of course, of course, yes. There's a time of night and
drinking,
a number of substances. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my waitress knows what adverbs are.
We also got
congratulations,
some attention.
By the way. That's awesome.
We also got recognized for our amazing retail chains. Walmart was described by a Japanese group as genuinely captivating. A group from Norway went to a Bass Pro Shop and said they explored it like a theme park.
Sure.
And a South African visitor went to a Buc-ee's. Okay, for those not familiar, that's approximately 70,000 square feet of just random shit to buy while you're gassing up your giant RV during a road trip across America. And that visitor said, "You can explain Buc-ee's. You could show photos. Nothing really prepares someone for Buc-ee's."
Yeah, Buc-ee's. We put the top in dystopia.
Yeah, right, right. You know how, like, no matter how long you live in Manhattan, the skyline still wows you? I bet working at a Buc-ee's is like that, except the opposite. Right? You just have that same feeling of, why, though, every day?
I'm also enjoying the way that football fans are kind of diffusing bigotry in a weird way. We're seeing big crowds of fans.
I'm listening.
Yeah, big crowds of fans. They're basically, they're dressing up as a racist mascot of their country. But like, if they're doing it, it's just people having fun. Like, Norwegian fans are going around everywhere dressed as Vikings and miming like they're rowing a big Viking ship
in big groups.
It's like their thing. They do it in the stands as well. Egyptian fans are wearing King Tut costumes. French fans are smoking cigarettes, cheating on their spouse. And with Team Scotland playing in Massachusetts, the entire city of Boston woke up at 6 a.m. to bagpipes ringing out from Airbnbs all over the place. And thanks to the tartan army of about 50,000 fans in Boston, a whole bunch of the bars in the city ran out of beer and had to get emergency deliveries.
Amazing. Look, I feel like you need to be one or the other, right? You can either be the drink the city out of beer people or the we get up at 6 a.m. to make screeching sounds with our bag of discordance people. You can't be both of those things.
Oh, when Boston ran out of beer, that must have been the start of Rocky III for that city, right? They're just staring at their hands the next morning. Come on, Josh. Drinking is what you are. We don't even know where Scotland is.
Should we go chase some chickens around and then start drinking again?
And then vomit, yeah.
And just a quick distinction about this overall narrative. So conservative outlets like Fox News, they're spinning this whole thing as a big vindication of their version of patriotism. Mm. And that is incredibly stupid. they think the international strippers really like them. But there is a positive thing happening. The people of the world are, hopefully anyway, noticing that we're not all Donald Trump types of people, just like the people of Hungary are not all Viktor Orban type of people. So let's hope we prove it in the same way as they did in Hungary. That'd be great coming up. And also, here's my theory about how we should do stuff from now on. Every
hit me with it.
Geopolitical dispute should be decided with sports and games and no military. Maybe like, you know, a combination of soccer, a few others, chess, video games, and some pub games, something like that. If you're a world leader and you want to take some land, we all get to watch you embarrass yourself.
Okay.
I think that should be a law.
Heath, if I can be honest, I feel like you only included pub games so you could create peace in the Middle East with Crokinole and, can I say, I'm in. I'm for it.
And darts, pool, ping pong, yeah. All right. On that note, we're going to close it out. Thanks to No Illusions. Thanks to Eli Bosnick. And thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening. And please keep telling your friends. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away a free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like all the generous new donors, you will be complimented next time around. And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, if you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes for charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that pianist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He's the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you hear today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off. The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and a Thunderstorm, LLC, copyright 2026, all rights reserved.